It is so good to have you here in the house of the Lord tonight. We do appreciate you being here. I thank God for the presence of the Lord we've been made to feel. Amen. We appreciate Brother Freddie Edwards being with us tonight. He's pastor of the Sanctuary Church in Sylacauga.
Thank you, Lord, for your presence, your spirit. The Lord, the psalmist David said, is in his holy temple. And I don't know why you came here tonight, but I came to meet with the Lord. Praise God. I came to just bask in his presence, to just stand before him and serve him and give him praise and give him glory and give his honor. It is indeed a privilege and an honor to be here with you at Alabaster. Stand with me if you would, please. It's a joy to be with you. Thank you very much. I'm going to take the offering that you gave tonight, and I'm going to set it aside. I've gotten several invitations lately to go and minister, but I've been invited to go to Africa and preach in July, and I'm really hoping that I'm able to go. I'm trying to raise the funds to go. Went to India this past December and preached over there, and we were able to minister at night to between 8,000 and 10,000 people. And I tell you, it was a powerful, powerful time there in India. One night at the end of the service, and, you know, the people, it's just amazing. You know, I would get down. I was standing on speakers, actually, and the ladies was here and the men was here. And, you know, they wanted you to pray for them. And so they were just coming through the line, and you were just kind of, you know, just hitting people. Just, you know, and they were just going, they was crying. I mean, it was honest, it was sincere. But there were so many people there that was gathering wanting you to pray for them. You just kind of had to move on, or you'd been there all night. But there was one particular young man that stopped, and he was tears rolling down his face, and I began to minister to him through the interpreter there, the translator that was sharing with him what I was felt like the Lord wanted me to give him. And it was amazing. After I shared with him, he just went on through the line, and then he came back with his daddy, his mom, and his two sisters. And his daddy, they're very gracious people, and he wouldn't even approach me, but his daddy came up and very humbly said, "My son would like to speak to you if you had the time." And I said, "Well, I'll be glad to speak with him." And he said, "I am not a follower of Christ. I am a Muslim." He said, "But today I was coming on my way home, and I was driving down that road over there. And," he said, "I heard somebody call my name from up under this tent." And he said, "I went home and I told my mother, I've got to go to that place tonight. Somebody is calling my name." And I got up that night, and you know what I preached on before I even knew anything of this? I preached from out of the book of Samuel. And he said to me, "When you started preaching out of the book of Samuel and you made the statement that God had called his name, I knew immediately it was Jesus that had called my name today." And he said, "I have come here, and I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." And I prayed with him, and he accepted the Lord. His dad, his mama, who were Muslims, both of them got saved, and his two sisters got saved and gave their heart to God. I'm telling you, it was a powerful, powerful thing. And so the Lord is moving, and God is doing some great, great things. And so I just wanted you to know I'm going to take what you have given tonight and set it aside, and hopefully I'll be able to take that trip to Africa in July and preach and minister there. But God bless you. Keep us in your prayers. Look at Psalms chapter 34, verses 1 through 3. Psalms chapter 34, verses 1 through 3. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make their boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Now, I want to tell you, after pastoring for about 13 years now, there's a lot of messages. I've got stuff to preach. But I was praying and I was seeking the Lord today, and God spoke to my heart. And I want to share with you today a message entitled, "The Effects of Praise and Worship." The effects of praise and worship. And I believe God's going to meet with us today. Would you raise your hands, stretch them in this direction? Let's pray together and believe God to minister to us. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you, we worship, we honor and glorify you. God, we are believing you to move in this house. We're believing you to pour out your spirit. We're believing you to help us to preach and to share this word tonight. And God, as it goes forth, as I release this word to this congregation, as I send it forth over this house, I pray in Jesus' name that they would begin to understand some things about praise and worship, and Lord, because of it, they would be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch us and help us and minister to us today. We give you praise and honor and glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Everybody said amen. Shake some hands before you're seated and tell them, God bless you. Praise God. Brother, give me just a little more on the monitor, please. How many of you know it's a powerful thing when we praise the Lord? How many understand that there's a whole lot more that happened in this place tonight in the spirit realm than what we can discern with our carnal senses? When you praise God from the heart, there are some profound and explosive things that happen in the spiritual realm. I'm going to cover four areas that are affected by the praise and the worship in your life. And hopefully, it will explain why we should praise the Lord, and it would help motivate you to praise the Lord all the more. The psalmist David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And listen, praise isn't something that comes out of us just when and because we are emotionally stirred by the presence of God. Praise isn't something that should come and go in a believer's life, but praise and worship is a rational, intelligent act of the will as opposed to emotions. Somebody said, well, I'll praise God when all my problems are resolved. Well, guess what? You're never going to praise the Lord then, because as long as you're in this flesh, there's going to arise problems in your life. Somebody else said, well, I'll praise the Lord when I feel like praising Him, because after all, I don't want to be a hypocrite and praise the Lord knowing I've got problems and I don't feel like it. Well, how many of you went to work this morning even though you didn't feel like it? Let me see your hand. Well, why didn't you just stay in bed then and say, I don't want to be a hypocrite and go to work today because I don't feel like going to work? No, you went to work today because it is a sign of character, responsibility, and it's the right thing to do. And praise is the same way. Praise is an act of faith. It is an act of obedience to the God we serve, not necessarily an emotional response to God. Now, don't misunderstand me. When God shows up and He begins to tabernacle among His people, when He begins to manifest Himself among us, and have you understand there's a difference between just God's presence being with you and God manifesting His presence. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the very end. So He's with us, but there is a difference between Him just being with us and Him manifesting His presence. And when the manifested presence of God begins to be expressed, it will affect your emotions, but you don't have to wait on your emotions to praise God. No, you need to praise the Lord because it is a commandment, and you worship Him out of an intelligent, rational recognition of the Holy Scriptures, and it is an act of faith. It is an expression of my love for the Lord, regardless of the problems that I have or may not have, regardless of the way I feel or I don't feel. So if you're taking notes tonight, I want you to write down a few of these verses of Scripture, okay? Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. Rejoice evermore. That's the one verse of Scripture found in the Bible that you can get backwards and still have it right. Rejoice forevermore, evermore rejoice. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. It is God's will that you rejoice and you thank Him in everything. Not necessarily for everything, but thank Him in it. For what? How about your way of escape? For He shall not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able to bear, but with every temptation He will make a way of escape for you. And so my motivation is not my feelings in this area, but I'm moved by my obedience and my faith in God's word. John 14 and 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. If I go, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Notice, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart, Brother Freddie, do you mean to tell me that we can choose to let not our hearts be troubled? I always thought you either had a troubled heart or not. I always thought you had a good, you were in a good mood or you were in a bad mood. I always felt like you were either having a good day or a bad day, but I found out in researching this that rejoicing is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's out of my intellect. in John 16 and 33, in the world ye shall have tribulations, problems, pressure, afflictions, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, folks, that is a commandment, and I'll be the first to admit that when you're in trouble and when you're in tribulation, it don't feel good. I mean, folks, if you get blindsided by the devil and it feels good, you need professional help. I mean, there's something wrong with you. It doesn't feel good. And for years, I thought, man, I had to feel it first, or you were being hypocritical in worshiping the Lord. But then I went to Acts chapter 16, and you sang about it a few moments ago. There was Paul and Silas. They're falsely accused. Their backs are beaten. They're placed in stocks. They're put in the inner prison. Now, I don't know about you, but that would hurt my feelings. But then the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas began to praise the Lord. Now, how many of you know they didn't feel like praising the Lord? I guarantee you, Paul didn't look over there at Silas and go, this be good, man. I be feeling good. We need to praise God. No, they didn't feel like praising God. It hurt emotionally. It hurt physically. And yet, you know what they did? They praised the Lord. And you know why? Because praise is something out of my will and my intellect. And you need to understand, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Somebody give him praise in this house. Somebody glorify the Lord right now. In Acts 26, Paul is in jail again. He's innocent again. He's being taken before Agrippa. And Agrippa says, I'm going to let you speak your peace now, Paul. What do you think? And Paul says, I think myself now happy. I'm telling you, you can think yourself now happy. You can choose to be happy. People say, well, I just got up on the wrong side of the bed today. And they just give that day over to the devil. They just give that day over to negative emotions and feelings. Man, I found out which side was the wrong side of the bed, and I shoved that sucker up to the wall, and now every day I make myself get up off of the right side of the bed, and I give him praise, and I worship him, because it is an act of my will. And I'm doing it intelligently, because I know when I begin to praise the Lord, something is happening. Things are affected when I worship God. And when I realized that, then I got motivated to start praising the Lord even if I didn't feel like it. And I started praising God even when things were going wrong, because I found out the more you do for the Lord, the more potential there is for something to go wrong. Some people whine, they whine and they groan, and they bellyache about fiery darts of the devil. The devil did this, and the devil did that, and some little, you start investigating, you find out it's all because of some little fiery dart. I left the fiery dart zone of the devil a long time ago. Now he's launching intercontinental nuclear ballistic missiles with heat-seeking sensors on them. Nobody told me behind every giant was four brothers. Come on. That's true about Goliath. He had four brothers, and that's why David picked up five stones. He was after all five of them boys. And when he charged the army of the Philistines, he wasn't just after Goliath. He knew behind every Goliath was another Goliath. And so here are I want you to understand, there are battles after victories, and there's battles after victories that are going to have to be fought. But how do you know it's a good fight? Oh, I have fought a good fight. You know why it's a good fight? Because we win. Amen. Have you read the back of the book? We win. Amen. I only had one fight when I was growing up, and it was a good fight. I won. I'll be honest with you. Everything about me was on the line. I mean, all my boys was there, and they were watching, and my reputation was on the line. And so with everything in me, I fought. I'm telling you, I fought. I refused to lose. I refused to give up. It was a good fight. She nearly whipped me, but I beat the snot out of her, folks. I'm telling you the truth. I won. Praise God. A good fight is a fight that you win. And how do you know we're going to win? So it's worth praising God for. So I want to give you four areas that are affected when you praise and you worship the Lord, okay? And you might want to write these down. They're supposed to be on the screen. So if you'll pay close attention here. Number one, you are affected when you praise God. You can't help but be affected when you give God praise. Number two, others. Those around you are affected when you praise God. Number three, the devil is affected when you praise God. How many know the devil hates praise? How many know he is tormented when you praise God? I'll be honest with you. I wish that I could just take the devil physically and grab him by the nape of the neck and beat the snot out of him. For some of the stuff he's doing, I'll be honest. But you can't take him because he's not in physical form. But I'm going to show you through the scriptures how that you can absolutely cause the devil, drive him insane because he's an egomaniac. And he wants your attention off of God and on him. And he'll give anything for you to talk about him and glory in him and have a pity party with him. But when you just ignore the devil and praise God and focus on the Lord, and you start worshiping God, I'm telling you, it just eats the devil up. He is so self-centered, and he is so egotistical, he wants your attention. And when you won't give it to him, even in a trial, come on, he can't handle that. And so the fourth area that I'm going to talk about is not just you and others and the devil, but I'm also going to talk about the fact that God is affected when you praise God. It moves him when you worship him. It stirs his very heart. Took me a long time to see that and believe that, but I'm going to show you out of the Word of God that it's true from the Scriptures. When you worship God, it affects him. Okay, are you ready to go? Those are the four areas. Look at number one. I'm going to talk to you about the fact that praise affects us. When we worship, praise affects us. Romans chapter 4. These are familiar verses of Scripture concerning Father Abraham. And if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have become the seed of Abraham, and you are the heirs according to the promise, okay? And what we see here are some steps to his faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. I didn't have time to give him the Scriptures, but if you want to turn there, Romans chapter 4, verse 18. It says, who against hope, talking about Abraham, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Everybody say the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look at verse number 20. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, that he, God, was able to perform. Now, everybody in here tonight has faith. The Bible talks about weak faith, strong faith, great faith, shipwreck faith, dead faith. Everybody say that with me. I'm just kidding. Praise God. Don't try to say that. Okay? You've got faith. Now, it may be dead faith. What's dead faith? Dead faith is when you believe, but you can't act on that belief. Some of you may have shipwreck faith. Shipwreck faith is a faith where you've released your faith, and you're just about to come into the promise, but you become discouraged and disheartened, and as a result, you give up and you quit. Well, what is weak faith? Faith that is weak is faith that when you consider your problem and your circumstances around you, you just refuse to move forward. And then there's strong faith. Well, what is strong faith? Well, right there it said, he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So when you give God glory, it strengthens your faith. Faith is rooted in the Word of God, and as we praise, it gets us focused on God. But when we get hit, persecuted, reviled, hurt, the enemy wants to get our attention off of God and onto ourselves, off of God and on what others have done to us, off of God. And once you allow that to happen, then your faith is going to be weakened. But the Bible says, listen, Abraham was strong in faith. He considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Again, praise affects you because it keeps you focused. Matthew 6 and 22, the light of your body is the eye. If your eye is single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, then your body, your whole body shall be full of darkness. And if that light that is in you be dark, how great is that darkness? Now, all Jesus is saying right here is this. What you focus your attention on, you get full of. Okay, you hear me? Whatever you focus your attention on, you're going to get full of. If all you're doing is considering your problems and woes day and night, then you're going to be full of your problems and your woes. Now, I'm not saying that we need to ignore our problems, okay? Some in the faith circles misunderstood how to deal with problems. We don't ignore problems as people of faith. As people of faith, we don't act like we don't have a problem. We don't confess we don't have a problem. When we do have a problem, that's not faith, that's lying. Jesus didn't say in Mark 11, see that mountain over there? Confess that it ain't there. That's not what he said. He said, you see that mountain? Speak to that mountain. We got to learn how to address the problems according to the word of God and deal with them in faith, believing the Lord is going to take care of. And what praise does, it keeps you focused on your God. Now it says he considered not his own body, now dead. So he didn't consider his own problem, but then it says, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah and her faith, listen to this, played a part in God fulfilling his purpose in Abraham's life. And as the pastor of the church where I pastor the sanctuary, God has given me a vision, and he has called us to reach that geographical area for Alabama, that central part of the state. And I believe God is building a church there, and he is wanting us to reach that area for God. And I'll just be honest. I ain't got time to fool around with people who don't have a heart for the lost. I don't have a time to fool around with people that don't have a heart for the poor or the sick or the needy who don't believe we got the answer. Folks, I'm telling you, we got the answer. We got Jesus. We got the answer to poverty. We got the answer to drugs. We got the answer to alcoholism. We got the answer to sin and hopelessness. His name is Jesus. Oh, I'm tired of everybody running to Washington, D.C. for the answer. We've got the answer. His name is Jesus. Somebody praise God. So we got to understand that if we're going to reach the area and establish the kingdom, it's going to take a whole lot more than just me or your pastor for this area. It's going to take all of us being obedient to God, and it's going to take you being obedient to God. And I'll be honest, I've seen pastors that were doing their part, but then they begin to consider the fruitless wombs of those around them, and they fail to reach the city. See, folks, I made my mind up. I'm not going to be moved by the fruitless wombs of those that come around me because they will weaken my faith. Good statement right here. I can't sit around and blame Sarah for the lack of Isaacs in my life. Abraham could have just walked around and blamed Sarah. Well, it's Sarah's fault, you know. She's got a barren womb. She don't have her act together, and that's why I ain't getting anything done for God. No, the Bible says he considered not his own body, which was now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Folks, he believed God that no matter if God said it, God was going to do it regardless of the circumstances. A lot of preachers... And I ain't putting preachers down because I are one. Amen. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. But I used to do this. A lot of times preachers preach to the people that are not there. And because of that, churches die. You know, somebody, and it's happened. I know it's happened. People will come by and they'll join themselves to you. And man, you need them so bad. And they're going to help you get the purpose of God done. But then they quit you and they turn on you. And that's bad enough that they left. But what they did not do, they forgot the knife that they put in your back before they walked out. Don't shout me down now, folks. Praise God. And if you're not careful... You know, preachers can focus and start meditating on that, and I've done it before, and we can look at that, and before you know it, we're preaching to people that are not even there, and then we neglect all of the ones who have stuck with us and paid the price and sacrificed to see Isaac's born into the kingdom of God. So even though there may be some fruitless Sarah wombs that have come and gone, I'm going to keep praising God. I'm going to keep worshiping the Lord. I'm just going to keep on believing God, because the same God that promised is the same God that fulfills. And it's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Somebody praise God. So praise affects you. It keeps you focused on God. All right, secondly, it doesn't only affect you, but it affects others. Psalms 40, I waited patiently on the Lord. He inclined unto me, heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it, the Bible says, fear and trust in the Lord. Psalms 46:10, Psalms 96 verses 1 through 10 talks about praising God even in the midst of the heathen. Folks, it's easy to praise God in here tonight. Easy to praise God in this house. If you can't praise God here, your wood's wet. If you can't praise God in here with everything, your wood is wet. But saints, when we leave here and the kids are sick and the wife's a nagging and the husband's a nitpicking, I was going to get to them, ladies, praise God. Y'all are just going to leave me hanging. And the roof's leaking and the car's broke down. I say that's when we got to praise the Lord. I don't want to just praise the Lord in here. I want to praise the Lord in my going and my coming and in my rising up and my laying down. I want God to get the praise. And I realize it can take a while to learn and balance this thing out. And you don't want to just get goofy and crazy, you know, because there is a proper place and time for everything. But it just bothers me how the world glories in their God. Come on, they praise their God and blaspheme our God. We ought to be praising God on the job. We ought to be praising God in the market. We ought to be walking down the marketplace and look over and say, praise God, hot dogs are on sale. Glory to God, hallelujah. Do you see this? Praise God. Look at these hot dogs there. We should not have to tell anybody that we're a Christian. One of the things that marks us as the people of God is not a certain hairdo or kind of clothes except modesty, not the color of skin or the kind of blood or race, but grace in which all nations and tongues and tribes have come together in one man, Jesus Christ, and we offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. That's how they're going to know. We give God the glory, not just in our talk, but in our walk. We give Him praise. Well, I'm enjoying this whether you are or not. Praise God. We as a people of God, we affect other people when we praise God. There is a phrase, integrity praise. And I've been to some churches evangelizing years ago, I'll be honest with you, and they would praise God, but folks bless their hearts. I'm not putting them down. Some of them are going to make it to heaven, I'm sure. But some of those churches are going to be the first at the resurrection, because the dead in Christ, you've heard that, are going to rise first. I'm telling you, it was bad. I remember they would sing them old dead songs, and the only one that had any life to it, I remember, it was this. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And they'd sing it about like that. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then the next little phrase said, and the half has not yet been told. And I sat there thinking, hurry, somebody tell them the other half, because they didn't get it the first half. Amen. Let me tell you what I mean by integrity praise. It's the kind of praise where people experience intimacy with God. It's from the heart. Integrity praise, it's real. They ain't playing games. Integrity worship is not a worship of the emotions. See, if you're not careful, you can get so caught up in emotionalism and you can worship your emotions instead of worshiping the God of your emotions. You see, you're just trying to feel good and have a good time and a blowout. But I'm telling you, it's possible through praise and worship to have intimacy with the God you serve. And I know how hard it is for some folks. You know, we got a lot of different people. We've had, I don't know how many Baptist people who have recently started coming to our church at the sanctuary. And I've watched them during work, and it is so hard for them to lift their hands. I mean, I'll be honest. Boy, we're up there. We're getting it, you know. And they're like, I know they want to. I know they want to praise God. I know they want to lift up their hands. I know in the sanctuary they want to lift up their hands, because Psalms 134, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. You know it blesses the Lord when you lift up your hands. Anybody want to bless the Lord right now? Why don't you lift up your hands and bless the bless the name of the Lord. Magnify his name. Oh, exalt him right now. Y'all want to tell you something about your praise? Your praise will either drive people into intimacy with God, or it will drive them away from God when you worship God with integrity praise. There is something that I want to say right here, and I believe God said this to me about our particular church. And if you go to the book of Revelations, you find out that, you know, he said some things to one church that he didn't say to another church. And so everything he says to me, you know, is not necessarily for everybody. And so, you know, I'm just going to share this with you. And if it's for you, then praise God, okay? But I'm convinced the Lord spoke this, and he spoke this to my heart, okay? It praise and worship that is from the heart, it will purge your church. I mean, it will either make people glad or it will make people mad. There isn't any indifference in the midst of praise and worship that comes from the heart. And when I say indifference, I mean true praise and worship breaks out in the church. I'm telling you, some folks just can't stay there and be indifferent. You're either going to get in there with everything you've got, or you are going to get mad and mean and quit. Say amen. Matthew 21 and 15. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and listen to this, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. That's sad. Let me tell you what praise and worship will do. It'll run the Pharisee off. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be around an old rank sinner. I'm talking about a good one that knows how to do it right. I mean, man, if you're going to be a sinner, do it right, because that's the only fun you're going to have is in this world. So have all of it you can have, because when you die, you're going to hell, and it's going to be over with then. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, do it right. But if you're going to serve God, guess what? Do that right too. Give him everything you got. Give him your whole heart with passion. Serve the Lord. Get saved. Serve Jesus with every part of your heart and full of passion. So I'll be honest, I'd rather be around a rank sinner who has a passion for sin in the world than a Pharisee. I mean, be honest with you, they're easier to deal with than a Pharisee is. When we started our church, it was in our living room, actually, okay? We had seven people the first service, and all of them was in the choir. All of them. And we worshiped and we praised God for about 3 months. And then we moved to that storefront. And every time we made a move, four different times, God said, keep praising me. Whatever you do with all of your heart, no matter who comes, no matter who goes, you just keep right on praising me. And recently he said, teach and preach on the expressions of worship and the expressions of praise. How to be demonstrative for the Lord in your worship. And we do have different personalities, and don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say, because I'm not talking about personality here. It's okay to be reserved. It's okay to hold back in your person and your personality. But listen, there are certain specific acts of praise that's found in the Bible. One of them is lifting up your hands without doubt and wrath, and as you bless the Lord in the sanctuary, and it doesn't matter what your personality is, you can lift up your hands and you can praise the Lord. Praise God. Come on, you can even clap your hands, all you people, no matter what your personality is. And if you can't dance real good, you can at least tap your toe in time. Come on, folks. I mean, all and I praise God for black people that's coming in to the church. We got a lot of black people in our church, and the effect, I thank God for the effect that they've had on the body of Christ at the sanctuary. Because I look out there sometimes and I think we white people need to learn how to clap. I mean, you know, I'll be honest, white people, we clap off beat. You know, we're kind of like, boy, them black people ain't getting out, you know, they're going for it. And if your church is like my church, we got blacks and white, they ain't nowhere to rest. They just get it. You know? They're just praising God, you know. So they know how to rejoice. They know how to worship. And we know how to worship. And they're teaching us some things about worship. Praise affects people. And there is no way with integrity praise going on that you can just sit there. It's going to affect you. When you praise God not to be seen, when you praise God not to be heard, and you praise Him from your heart, I promise you, that person down the pew from you, they're going to be affected by that worship. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody praise Him right now. Come on, don't matter your background. Doesn't matter where you're from. It does not matter what your persuasion is. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, where you're from. We can all come together and worship God in harmony in such a way that we have an effect on people. And if that happens, there will come a time when sinners will walk through the doors and they will say, this isn't religion. These people aren't going through the motions. These people really love God. And I believe God wants to bring us to a place in our worship individually and corporately where sinners walk in and they will know beyond a shadow they've entered into the very presence of Almighty God and that He really does inhabit the praises of His people. So praise affects you. Praise affects others. And then praise affects the devil. Praise is an offensive weapon against the devil. In Ephesians 6, you know, you have the armor of God, and basic out of those six, five of them are defensive. Only one of them is offensive, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then you have a seventh piece of armor that is very often not even touched on, but that's prayer, and it all works through prayer. How many of you understand that? Preaching is a weapon. It's an offensive weapon as well. Praise is an offensive weapon against the devil, because when you start praising God in spite of and in the midst of your trial, then you are offensively attacking Satan. When you come through those doors and you've had one of those days, but you praise God anyway. Anybody ever done that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, you can put the devil on the run. You are attacking him when you praise him in the midst of your trial. When a church comes together and you have a sanctified meeting and you start thinking about all the things God's been doing in the church, saving people, putting marriages back together, meeting financial needs, expanding ministry. Dear God, you ought to come in here and you ought to have a Holy Ghost hold down every time you get together and give God the praise. My God, have a Jubilee camp meeting and give God the glory. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to tell you, friend, principalities and powers can be driven back and strongholds can be pulled down. And that's what needs to happen, and it will happen when we begin to pray. It affects Satan when you worship. Okay, write these scriptures down. Jonah chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Jonah's in the belly of the big fish, okay? And how many of you know that that was probably uncomfortable for him? Okay, say amen, act spiritual. Amen, that's easy. Okay, praise God. It was uncomfortable. It wasn't a bit of fun. This was not the comfort inn, okay? 3 days and three nights. I'm going to be honest with you. It took 3 days. His rebellion was so just in him. It took 3 days and three nights before he prayed. Yeah. I'm telling you, folks, the minute I saw that whale coming, I'd have been, I've been off speaking in tongues. I'd be praising. I mean, I'd be. It wouldn't have taken me 3 days and three nights. I've been praising God. But after 3 days and three nights, I mean, he stinks. I mean, he's bleached white. He's shown up a white boy. Okay, the gas is down there. Where, I mean, he's white. And he's not a pretty sight. And at the end of all that, in Jonah chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he says, I will offer unto the Lord the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Amen. He started thanking God in the belly of the fish, and that's when the Bible says the fish vomited him up on the beach. When you get tired of being in the whale will get tired of you being in it. Come on. When you get tired of your problems will get tired of you. And so he gets vomited up on the beach. Jonah landed on the beach. Seaweed is around his neck. He's bleached out. He's stinking to the high heavens. Hasn't been to the bathroom in 3 days. And he goes into Nineveh like that. And he's hollering, repent, repent, repent. Guess what? They repented. Yeah. He's worshiped down there. And then 2 Chronicles 20, we all know this story. Jehoshaphat, the children of Israel, have 3 kingdoms coming against them, and they are about to wipe Israel out. It's looking like the end of Israel. It looked like it's over. So guess what God commanded them to send out into the front of the army? The praise singers. Send the praise and worship band out there. Hallelujah. I can just hear the church council praise and worship. Man, we need bazookas. Pastor, what are you thinking? Send the tambourines. And the Bible says when they begin to praise God, God sent ambushments against the enemy, destroyed them, and it took them 3 days to pick up all the spoils. Now, I like that. See, some people like to fight the devil. I like to praise God and let God fight the devil. Now, I know sometimes, I know sometimes you've got to, you know, fight the devil. I'm not saying there is a time you don't have to fight it. I'm saying I'd rather praise God and him send ambushments against the devil. Amen. Matthew 21:16. They were sore displeased and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you not heard? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings I have perfected praise. Listen, Jesus there was quoting Psalms 8:2. And don't miss this. But he did not quote it exactly like it was written. He gave you an interpretation of it. Psalms 8:2, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. So when you put Psalms 8:2 with Matthew 21:15-16, you get the full interpretation of the kingdom of God. And listen, you understand how things work. Jesus was saying, when we offer praise, when we worship him with our heart, our mind, our soul, our body, then God ordains strength back to us, and God steals the enemy and the avenger. Listen to this. Praise strengthens me, and it weakens the devil. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 16, Saul has rebelled against God. He's lost the kingdom. You know that story. David has been anointed as king in Israel. And the Bible said God sent a devil to torment Saul. Then Saul called for David to come and play his instrument. And David came. He was anointed. He played the instrument. And that devil that was sent by God to torment Saul could not stay. He had to leave. And then the devil would leave, and David would leave. And when David left, the demon would come back. Saul called David back. David would play, and that demon would leave. Now, I believe, listen to me, that we are under a new covenant. And Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law of sin and death. Galatians 3:13. And I believe we are saved from the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. We are not appointed unto wrath, but God has appeased his wrath in the sacrifice of Jesus. For Jesus bore your sins and bore God's judgment against you for your sins. So I don't believe God's putting devils on anybody. Okay, listen to me. But if in the Old Testament, under that covenant that wasn't as good as our covenant, Hebrews 8:6, says we got a better covenant established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no place for the second covenant to be sought. That was not a perfect covenant. We are under a perfect covenant now, in which our Father has adopted us as sons and daughters, and he ain't putting devils and demons on you. My point is, under the Old Testament, God sent that devil, and he could not stay during praise and worship. How much less can a demon assigned to you by the devil hang around when you start praising God and glorifying the Lord today? So I said, oh, the devil's on my back. What do you mean the devil's on your back? Why don't you get him under your feet where he's supposed to belong? Because that's what Jesus Christ, he'll be there if you will praise him. Come on, folks, somebody praise God right now. I'm telling you, somebody praise the Lord. I'm telling you how to defeat the devil. I'm telling you how to stay focused. Praise torments the devil. The devil covets the worship that is due the God we serve. The devil wants your attention. He is an egomaniac. Where do you think all of those negative traits that's in every human being came from? It came from the devil. And did you know the devil did not get kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be the devil? He got kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be God. And even though the devil don't want to be the devil, he wanted the worship due God. And when he came and tempted Jesus, he said, if you'll just bow down and worship me. And in that temptation, we see his heart manifested. He wants your worship. He wants your praise. You listening? He wants your attention. That's why he's afflicting you. Your faith is being attacked and tested because it's rooted and grounded in God's word. So your attention has to stay focused on God. Do any of you remember how long it took the devil in that scripture to show Jesus the glories of his kingdom? Do you know? The Bible says it only took a moment. And if all it took was a moment, there must have not been very much to it. Sin is pleasurable for a season, the Bible says. But it runs out. I promise you, folks, listen to me. There's death at the end of that road. But the glory that's been given to the church will be for all eternity. And we're going to rule and reign with him forever in the kingdom that is to come. Don't give me this garbage about how hard it is to serve the Lord. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. The salvation I preach and have is joy unspeakable, and it is full of glory. Don't tell me you can't praise God. Well, I don't have anything to be thankful for. That's just a sorry attitude as far as I'm concerned. You're sitting here tonight saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've been given his name and his spirit and his power and his glory and his riches and his armor. Man, we are blessed. Let's praise God. Let's glorify the Lord. Let's worship him in this house and magnify his name. Come on, somebody. Somebody praise the Lord. Glory to his name. I'm telling you, it's affecting the devil right now. It's affecting the devil right now. Give him praise. Give the Lord the glory. Give God the praise right now. Oh, I love you, Lord Jesus. My God, somebody's putting the devil under their feet. Somebody is running him off. Somebody right now is tormenting the devil with your praise. Oh, somebody praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In sunshine or shadow, give the Lord the praise. Not just on Sunday, but through the week, give God the praise. Every day of your life, give God the praise. He's worthy of your praise. And your praise and worship affects you, and it affects others. Praise God. I hope next Sunday morning, the Sunday morning crowd here at Alabaster Church of God looks and says, what in the world happened to them? Praise affects you, it affects others, it affects the devil, and then fourthly, it affects God. I'm telling you, praise moves God. It stirs his very heart. John 4:24. The hour's coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh for such to worship him. Saints, very few times in the Word of God do you find where the Bible says God seeks for something. Yet he seeks true worship. He longs for. Acts 13, that the apostles and prophets all got together, and they began to fast and pray, and they ministered unto the Lord. Do you know that you can minister to the Lord? Now, folks, I have always thought and still see the greater need for ministry is me. I'm the one that needs it, amen. I mean, I'm the one that was messed up, falling short, and struggling. But according to Acts 13 and 1, I can minister unto the Lord. Praise 134. Lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Somebody said, I don't see that. I don't either. All I know is God said it blesses him when I do it, so I'm going to do it. I don't have to understand all the whys. All I know is it speaks of my surrender. What do you do when someone puts a gun in your back? You throw up your hands and you surrender. You surrender. And the Bible says, Revelation 4:11, all things are and were created for God's pleasure. How many know God has pleasure? I mean, God gets blessed. In the Old Testament, the Bible showed us it's possible for him to get mad. So if he can get mad, I believe he can get glad. How's he get glad? Come on, nod your head. Say amen. Presbyterian, amen. Help me right here. Praise God. I'm telling you, if he can get mad, he can get glad. And all we got to do is just worship him. My point is, God has emotions. And it's not some Ekron in the universe, some face of good against evil. God is a person. And when you come into his presence and say, Lord, I just love you, it blesses him. God don't just love you because he has to. Come on, God likes you just the way you are. There may be some things about you you don't like, but I'm telling you, God likes you. Now, Shay and Houston are 22 and 20 now, my children. But I'm telling you, and they're a joy to me now, but I'm telling you, when they were little, they were such a... My daughter married Gary Taylor's son, Derek, who had a little boy from a previous marriage, and his name is Christian, and we started keeping him a little bit. And so one day we had him, Suzette had gone to get him, and I was... came in a little late, and I walked into my living room, and he was there on the floor, and he was playing with some things, and he looked up and he said, hey, granddaddy. And I thought, granddaddy, I'm not your driver. I'm not, yeah, on my heart, you know, I was like, I didn't know what to believe. I didn't know what to think or feel. I mean, first time in my life I'd ever been called granddaddy. You know, and I was like, I'm not your granddaddy. Oh, yeah, I am, praise God. You know, just... But my children, I'm telling you, folks, I mean, children, they can just... And I remember one day when Houston was just a little boy, he said to me, Daddy, I love you more than much. And oh, saints, my heart. And I'm thinking, son, I'll get you the deed to the moon. Just tell me what you want, boy. I love you so much. I'll get you anything you want. You just name it. And the reason that blessed me so much is I know Houston has a free will. And he loves me, and he has the choice to either love me or reject me. Shay, when she was younger, I remember I was in the office one day at the church, and I was having a meeting with somebody, and all of a sudden the door opened, and she walked right in, and I'm having a council. She walks right in. She just didn't even give any regard to it, and she walked right in and jumped up into my lap, and I looked at her. I said, Shay, Daddy's having a council. I'm having a meeting. And she said, yeah, I know you are. She said, but I'm your daughter, and you're my daddy. And she had learned something. She had learned that she was my daughter, I was her daddy, and so she didn't have an appointment that gave her the right to open up that door and come into that office just any old time she wanted to. Now, I don't know if the angels have to wait 2 or 3 years to see the Father, but not me. I can crash right in to the holies of holies, beyond the veil, into the throne room, and say, Father, I love you more than much. And it blesses him when you tell him you love him. God created everything to give him pleasure. The universe testifies of his glory. And everything but you has it built into it to give God praise. It doesn't have a choice. The birds burst forth in singing. The flowers seem to whisper he's alive. Even the trees lift their branches high to the heavens above. But there's just something about my praise he loves. And let me tell you what it is. I have a choice to either love him or reject him, to love him or hate him, spend time with him or ignore him. I choose to love him. and worship him and magnify him. And when you do to him what Shane Houston did to me, I'm telling you, he'll look at you. I'm telling you, when they look at me with those big, brown, beautiful eyes that are just like mine, I'm telling you, it just melts my heart. And when they say, Daddy, you're the greatest. You are the greatest. I remember when Houston was just in baseball, you know, and he was young, and it was not even Little League. It was before that. And I remember one day we was riding along, and he had struck out, and he said, Daddy, I just can't be perfect. I said, well, son, nobody's perfect. I said, but you take a good look at your daddy, because he's as close to it as you ever going to see. Praise God. You know, I mean, that was just how he felt about me. And I'm telling you, when they look at me with those big, brown, beautiful eyes, I just absolutely melt. When they say, Daddy, you're the greatest, I know it came from their heart. And I'm just telling you, when you do that, you need to understand who you are. You need to quit looking and seeing yourself after the flesh. You were born from the loins of God. You are a child of the King. You're sons and daughters of the Most High God. You're a royal priesthood with royal blood flowing through your veins. And when you choose as an act of your will to say, Lord, I love you more than much, he goes, I'll give you the deed to the moon. What do you want? Just ask me for it, and I'll give it to you. When you say, God, you are the greatest. I'll be honest, there's times I walk in with my shopping list, and I say, God, I gotta have this, and I gotta have this. But when you somehow can get beyond the shopping list stage, and you can get into that stage that says, God, I just want to be with you. I just love you so much. I want to just spend time with you. That's when everything else will be taken care of. Seek first, and all of these other things will be added unto you. Praise affects you. It affects others around you. It affects the devil that's trying to ride your back. And instead of him riding you, you're going to ride him. Praise God. And I'm telling you, praise affects the God you serve. Stand to your feet and give God praise right now. Stand to your feet and give God praise all over this house. All over this building, give God praise. Oh, give God glory all over this building. Come on, worship. Come on, give God praise. Come on, give God the glory. Come on, lift him up. Lift him up. Honor him and praise him right now. Come on, give him glory right now. If you'll give me a little bit more volume, I'll appreciate it, please. Somebody give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise in this house right now. Give God glory in this house. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, I worship you. I praise your name in the good times and the bad. Lord, on the mountain and in the valley, Lord, I give you praise, whether I feel like it or not. I give you worship because you're God and you're worthy. You're worthy. Not because I feel it. You're worthy. Hallelujah. Oh, I've made a choice to worship you. I made a decision. It's an act of my will and my intellect. God, I'm going to, and the devil is not going to do anything to me that will take away my worship of you. I will worship you, God. Job said, oh, God, help me right now. Praise the Lord. Help me, Lord. I want to share something with you. Years later, after Job's story, we had the benefit of looking back and seeing what was actually going on. Job did not know that when the sons of God appeared before the Lord, that Satan stepped up there too. And the Lord said, Job didn't know. The Lord had asked, where you been? Worn to and fro. Have you considered Job? Oh, he serves you because of the toys. He serves you because of all the toys that you give him. You take away his toys, and he'll stop worshiping you. And then you know the story. God said, take his toys. Don't touch his life. Take it. And the devil came in. Are you listening? And took everything. Job finds himself seated eventually on a heap of ashes with a potsherd, just kind of squandering himself. And his wife comes to him and says, curse God and die. And I can see the heavens now. Job doesn't understand how we understand and what we know today. Curse God and die, Job. And I believe the heavens became silent. I believe the angels were standing by in silence. I believe Satan was there. I believe God. And all of heaven was waiting to see what Job would say next. And as they sat there in silence, all of a sudden, in anticipation, after Job having lost everything he had, and at one point he was the wealthiest man, had a lot of reasons to give God praise and worship and serve the Lord. But all of a sudden, brother, everything is stripped from him. And the devil has been accusing him already, and God's been bragging on him. And now Job is about to speak. What's Job going to say? And all of a sudden, the angelic host and all of heaven hears Job say, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever and forever.